On Sunday, May the 4th, a Montreal-wide public assembly on gentrification was held at CIDA in Saint-Henri. The assembly was organized by Aqui la Ville, a collective formed to fight against gentrification and for the development of social housing. The assembly then divided into caucuses by neighborhood. The group was roughly divided into north, west, east, and south. After the discussion, representatives from each group shared the thoughts of their caucus. The group of the south began.
D'aller essayer de voir où est-ce qu'on peut aller chercher des appuis, où est-ce qu'on peut aller chercher des bras, des jambes, donc du monde qui serait prêt à travailler sur cette question-là. Donc, ce qui est plus formalisé, qui nous concerne tout le monde, ce serait vraiment la question de centraliser aussi, de faire une plateforme web.
Bonjour tout le monde. Donc, je porte la parole pour le contingent de l'Ouest. Dans le Sud-Ouest, il a beaucoup été mentionné qu'il y a beaucoup de conversions de buildings industriels en condos. Et que ça, ce serait quelque chose qu'on aimerait garder à l'œil très sérieusement, notamment sur les berges du canal La Chine, qu'on a comme qualifié de autoroute de gentrification. Ce serait bien peut-être de mettre en place des comités de vigilance, ben, particulièrement pour ça, mais aussi dans tous les quartiers, là, ça serait des comités qui surveilleraient justement l'avancée de la gentrification, mais qui aussi trouveraient des solutions pour y mettre un frein, évidemment. Donc, c'est ça, nous autres, ça nous préoccupait beaucoup, la perte d'espace public aussi liée à la gentrification, pas seulement des logements, mais des endroits auxquels on n'a plus accès maintenant, comme le canal. Pour freiner ça, comment on s'y prend? Bien, nous autres, on a vraiment discuté dans une perspective de diversité des tactiques, de diversifier les cibles aussi. Donc, il y a certaines personnes qui continuaient à vouloir mettre de la pression sur les pouvoirs publics, par exemple, en allant aux séances où ils parlaient de démolition pour freiner les démolitions. On a mentionné des luttes qui avaient réussi à freiner la démolition de certains buildings, donc ça peut continuer à fonctionner si on se mobilise. Aussi, aller aux séances d'arrondissement où ils délivrent, mais pas où ils délivrent, mais où ils entérinent les permis de conversion de logements en copropriété pour bloquer ces processus-là. Sensibiliser, entre guillemets, aussi les acheteurs de condos qui sont peut-être pas au courant de l'impact de leur achat. Il a aussi été discuté d'investir les organismes communautaires existants dans nos quartiers pour les rendre plus forts et aux besoins plus combatifs aussi. Sinon, à l'extérieur de nos quartiers, on a eu l'idée aussi de créer des alliances, par exemple, avec des étudiants et étudiantes, admettons, en travail social ou en relations publiques, qui déjà, dans certains domaines, en fait, il y a déjà des étudiants qui donnent du temps gratuitement à des industries, à des compagnies.
And welcome back to Off the Hour here on CKUT 90.3 FM. I'm here in the studio today with Norman LaForce from the Aqui la Ville, or Whose City Collective, and Vincent Stephen Ong from Save the Plateau and Calmunity, and Martin Blanchard from the Comité Longement de la Petite Patrie. Thanks for coming in, you guys.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Do you want to start by just going around and saying a little bit about your various initiatives?
Well, I can start off. I'm with the board of directors for the POPIR, Comité Logement, Tenants' Rights Association of St. Henry. I was on the Tenants' Rights Association board of directors of Ville Marie for 2 years and a half also. And I'm also a member of the collective Aqui la Ville, To Whom the City, basically.
Okay, do you want to talk just a little bit about the work that Popier and...
We did a thing, our first action as Aqui la Ville was a demo ending up at a vacant lot belonging to Mr. Sergakis, who is... anyway, we won't get into that, but we stayed there for about 5 days, which was pretty, and we were tossed out by the police eventually with Mr. Sergakis, telling us to, vacate the lot. But basically we made a point and at the same time we sort of influenced the municipal government of, Southwest to well, the borough anyway, and eventually they gave us allotted us two vacant lots with the possibility of making two co-ops on the two vacant lots. So if you direct your actions towards the one that needs to be addressed, or if you publicize your struggle, you should get something out of it.
Right. Vincent, do you want to just talk a bit about Save the Plateau?
That's definitely true. Publicizing your struggle gets you somewhere. My name is Vincent Sivanong. I'm a musician and the guy who started Save the Plateau. Basically, what happened was last October, I play with a collective called Calmunity, and we have been playing regularly for the past 11 years. In fact, come check us out at the Phi Center tonight. Anyway, a little plug there. We got a visit from the police last October, due to a noise complaint, a fine of $1,250 was levied against the venue. After that, I ended up making this YouTube video basically asking people to call up Mayor Fernandez of the Plateau and ask him to do something about this. And it just kind of ballooned from there and started researching more and more. And what I would say Save the Plateau is about, first of all, although it started about the Plateau, started about musicians and all this kind of thing, really it's just about cohabitation between residents and nightlife and culture. And that's really what it's about, because we want to have vibrant nightlife. We also want to sleep at night. And there's got to be a way to resolve those two things. So I've been researching that, and there's a lot of positive developments that have moved in that sector. Okay. Thanks.
Do you want to talk a bit about
it? Yes. So I work in Comité Logement Petite Patrie, the Tenants' Rights Association. There's about every neighborhood in Montreal has one. And our mission is to help tenants when they have different kind of problem or conflicts, either with their owners or other types of conflicts, and support them in different kind of things they have to do to solve their problem. But we also do the promotion of social housing, and we help people to build co-ops and find some place to establish their co-ops. And also we work at the more general level, which is what Norman has been talking about gentrification. Montreal has been gentrified in the past 10-20 years in a global sense, because it's something that happened more in the plateau in the 70s, in the 80s, and now it's happening everywhere in all mostly central neighborhoods, but many neighborhoods are seeing gentrification passing their way. And we've published a very important study with Ted Rutland of the Concordia University that shows that the rental stock has been converted in different type of co-ownership. So there's condos and there's other types of co-ownership. I won't go into the legal details of it, but in the Petite Patrie, it's about 20%, one-fifth of the whole rental stock has been converted in different types of co-ownership that bypasses, that goes around a moratorium that has been established in Montreal for the last 30 years. So this is a very big problem, because we are helpless in stopping this movement, because it's not illegal, it's not against the law, but it goes around the law. I can speak about the details later, but it's happening right now, and it's been driving thousands of people out of their apartments.
Okay.
I'm wondering if I could actually ask you a little bit about that. I was at a Conseil d'arrondissement du Plateau, and they were talking, it's Projet Montréal is in the Plateau, and they were talking about some new laws that they had passed to try to prevent people from converting and dividing into new condos. Do you think that kind of thing works, or?
It's about, what has been done in the Plateau is mainly, there's one type of conversion where an owner will take a triplex, three apartment unit, and will convert it into a single unit.
Okay.
So he can kick the families out.
Right, so he's not going to live there.
Exactly. So the Plateau stopped that.
Okay.
But it did not stop what we're talking about here, is to convert each unit into an ownership unit.
Right.
So it's like a condo.
Right.
It looks like a condo.
Yeah,
it walks like a condo. But it's not a condo.
Yeah. Okay, interesting.
It's called NDVs.
Right, NDVs, exactly.
Yeah. Right.
But do you think at least that preventing people from taking the three into one, does that help at all? Or
there was one case. So
one case,
okay. It helped for that case.
For that one case.
And it actually did not help because at DeRigi, they helped the owner to do another case to kick the tenant out.
Wow.
So the judge at DeRigi helped the owner to kick the tenant out.
There's also a course has been given by some companies to bypass the law.
Right.
And not only that, but we've seen even the police stopping anyone from doing a demo in front of the place to denounce the fact that they're, you know, bypassing the law. And they're charging like $225 for the whole course. Because I went over and asked. And we managed to get in and to create a little problem there. But basically, the problem is that the conversion, a lot of times in the conversions, you'll find a divise or divided and undivided, is that you will be buying condos a little cheaper than the new condos, but the plumbing is now sometimes redone. The insulation is now, you're buying as is, so you may get screwed up.
Yeah.
It's fundamentally
a rental property that was...
Exactly. And by doing that, you're tossing people out. Now, the fact of gentrification started with Brian Mulroney with the free trade and a lot of companies leaving and going to Mexico. So we left a lot of buildings that empty and... that could be making shoes or whatever else, and they're changed into condos. Now, also high-end condos a lot of times because depending on where they are, the proximity of the downtown area, because that plays a certain amount because people, they're trying to push people to come into town. And so, Projet Montréal is they're not against completely changing rentals to condos. They're in their program, they're talking about 5.5 or 2 bedrooms, 3 bedrooms, and 6.5 to and being able to change those and to get the moratorium off on these to attract people from outside of Montreal, which we thought was not the way to go because you're chasing people that families out of the area because of that, and it's always about. People moving of a better class moving in an area, and that has the municipal tax go up quite a bit because we're talking about many units in the building. So if you have 200 units in a condo, and that's you can have up to 6 to 1,000, and that's 600 or 1,000. Taxes going up, so that reflects in the area on the streets, and that brings up the rents. It brings up the taxes for the landlords living across. It brings up the rents. It chases people out of the area. We've seen that been done in France, where now any poor person lives outside of big cities and in areas where it's almost like. Near dumps and so forth,
right.
Because it's cheaper.
Mm-hmm. From what you guys were saying before, it seems like there's a lot of problems with people like finding ways to get around existing regulations. Do you think how much of the problem of gentrification do you think sees a need for universally applying laws, making them transparent, making them and having accountability, and how much do you think calls for just a new system of regulation?
Yeah, well, I think gentrification is not about really new kind of population moving in, and this is movement of population is all right. It's about policies that are driving the promoters, the markets, in order to make big profits, and drives the poor population out to places where there's no more services, where they're far from their work, and where they get poorer. So we have these. So this is a pretty good example, the undivided. In the 80s, there was a law that was passed to have a moratorium on condo conversion in the rental stock. In 1994, the government did the Quebec government changed the civil code to permit the division of undivided. So yeah. they really this is a new motor to convert the rental stock. So I think that what has to be done in the public policies is to get rid of all these gray areas where it's possible to make some big profits and where the political can be very much influenced by the promoters wanting and desiring to make a profit in these urban sectors. And at the same time, it's important to invest in parks, to invest in having a vibrant life in the communities, and not wait for rich people arriving and, you know, asking for a parking, etc.
Depending, yeah.
Yeah. So we already have good laws that could be helpful, but we have these other types of regulations that are lobbied by the rich promoters in order to make a big profit, because it's at the end it's really the essence of capitalism. It's to go somewhere, create some new markets, go somewhere where there are opportunities, and these are regulations that permit that.
Right. So. An interesting kind of parallel between the Save the Plateau issue and the Tenants' Rights Association, the work you guys have been doing, is that both of them seem to deal with whose voices the current system seems to be picking up and like prioritizing an action. I know you had a problem with the way like individuals' voices were acted on by the police. Whereas, do you want to talk a bit about that?
Sure. I mean, part of it. You know what? I forgot your name.
Martin.
What Martin was saying was really bringing me back to all the issues that we've been having, and it kind of goes into a question, like a philosophical question of like, what do you want the contents of a certain neighborhood to be? You know, and obviously you can't really mandate that by law, but you can try to at least have a somewhat even distribution and what kind of people have access to that neighborhood, like in the sense that if, you know, all the tax go up, well, certain people simply do not have access to that neighborhood anymore, you know? Mm-hmm. I lost my train of thought there. Your original question was, repeat that again?
Just in terms of the way, like the current, like in your case, the way the system of like law enforcement for noise complaints picked up the voices of individuals, but not necessarily like the community.
Sure. Yeah. So this is exactly it. It's like whose voice do you listen to? And it seems to be often in the case of what I'm dealing with, which is mostly noise complaints. It's like, well, the person that makes the noise complaint has all the rights in their favor, or seemingly has all the rights in their favor. It's actually a lot more nuanced than that. And one of the things I said at some point is that we, the people who are creating music, creating or whatever, you know, we have to complain against the noise complainers. Just because somebody is disturbed by the noise doesn't mean that feeling of disturbance is justified, mm-hmm. and that feeling of disturbance should be acted on. Like if you chose to move above a bar, well, maybe you should expect a certain amount of noise from that. That's what you chose to do. And I know a lot of people who live above bars that love it, or who want to find that place, you know? So yeah, that I think is a big part of it. I was just talking to somebody yesterday who was having problems with a neighbor. This is in the Ville-Marie area, with a neighbor who moved in as of last September or something. He's been there for 4 years, and the neighbor's complaining every time he walks, you know, walks on his floors or moves the chairs too loud and all those kind of things. Well, you know, this is normal sounds to be expected in an apartment, and the feeling sometimes like, oh my God, I made a noise, they're going to call the cops on me. That's not really, I mean, sure, they can call the cops, and the cops will come and be like, this is ridiculous, we're getting out of here, this person is making ridiculous noise complaints. And I think we have to look more on that side and say, like, not all noise complaints are equal. Not all, you know, it's not always valid.
Right.
It's fascinating to go to the municipal council and the borough council and to see who's complaining.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fascinating. It's all those gentrifiers that mm-hmm. are yep. eager to, exactly. to push the city, to form the city to their image,
yeah.
asking for more surveillance. There's too much trash at that corner. You need more, you know, cyclists need more place for their bikes and all that, yeah. which is all good. But we don't hear the poor people. We don't hear them. They don't come to those.
Exactly.
They don't come because they don't believe in that system anymore. Yeah.
There's sometimes high-end condos built in areas like in Verdun, near the Verdun Auditorium, which used to have bands coming in. They're not allowed anymore because, you see, the high-end condo people decided that they didn't want the noise, and they're right next to the river, they're paying for the view and everything else. So and so the city of Montreal will listen to these people because they're, you know, the money speaks.
I have, we have about a minute left. I have just one more question, and it's, do you think that like a truly mixed neighborhood, you know, in your case between nightlife and like, you know, families, yet residential or between mixed incomes can exist, and like what needs to be put in place for like a truly mixed neighborhood?
Go ahead.
I'm a bit divided on the mixed neighborhood.
Right.
Because what's happening is that mixed is used as a mask weapon, I would say, to drive the popular classes out of the neighborhood.
Yeah.
To
say it only moves in one direction.
So, exactly. You know, mixed neighborhood, they were mixed. Those neighborhoods were mixed before. Mm-hmm. But they're the people that are having a voice are those that, you know, that are, have more influence, have more money, etc. And they're the one who define what mixed neighborhood is.
Right.
So. Governments are also deciding what's going to be in that neighborhood. And the people from the neighborhood should be deciding what's going to be in their own neighborhood.
Yes.
And that's what we're, you know, we're seeing as far as development, as far as condos, high-end condos, and whatever else, in areas where normally, you know, it'd be a little more poor, or it would be rental, or whatever else. And that's the thing, is that we got to give back the neighborhood to the people of those neighborhoods.
I think what you said earlier, just about raise your voice. If you don't like the way your neighborhood is going, raise your voice about it. Everybody can make a change.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you guys very much for coming in. I'm here with Norman LaForce from Aqui La Ville and Vincent Stephen Ong from Save the Plateau and Martin Blanchard from the Comité de Logement de la Petite Patrie. And the time is now 5:58. Thank you for tuning in to CKUT's Off the Hour. I'm Una Jefferson.